What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on this Monday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We got to hit up some NFL news and notes. The season, again, getting closer and closer and closer. And one of the more interesting teams, I do believe, will be the Miami Dolphins. They, at one point, seemingly were at risk of losing their top defensive player, Xavien Howard. Led the NFL in interceptions last year with 10. He requested a trade. To be honest, though, Donnie and I, we read the tea leaves. It felt like it was a push to get a different contract. What do you know? Contract worked out, and Xavien Howard is going to stay in Miami.
Yeah, exactly. And this just isn't one of those things that's, you know, about respect and I want more pay. They paid him a lot of money, but when you have the hammer, you should swing it as many times as you want. And what I mean by that is look at Xavien Howard, you know, number two overall in Pro Football Focus's rankings last year out of 121 cornerbacks. And what else does he see? Byron Jones signs for a massive deal, and he's nowhere near the cornerback he is. So sometimes you line up, Kevin, and say, now, wait a second here. The best player on this football team defensively. I need to be paid like it here. And yes, even though a few years ago I didn't read my contract correctly, which paid me as the highest paid player in the NFL at my position, obviously, you know, 19-20-21 season, other free agents are going to surpass you. But that doesn't help the fact that you still know how good you are and what you should be paid. Rightfully so, and it's a good move by the Miami Dolphins. You have deep-pocketed ownership here. Why would you sit this guy out or have him struggle or not want to participate because he just wants to get his fair market value, which he thinks? If he's the 70th-ranked quarterback in the NFL and he wants fair market, I want to be paid like the highest-ranked player. No, that's not going to take place. When you are a good football player, you can make these demands. Look at Julio Jones. Look at Andre Johnson over the year. Hey, another guy just got paid. But Andre and Julio, we just paid you last year as the highest paid player at your position. That doesn't matter. This year, I'm not the highest paid player. I want to be that. Good on them for meeting halfway and say, hey, at the end of the season, let's revisit this. But let's get you some guarantees in here. Let's get you back on the football field. Have a good 2021. Clear your mind of anything that, hey, I'm not. If I go out here and don't perform is one thing. But if I go out here and get injured, what's going to happen with my next contract? Good on the Miami Dolphins, good on the agent, good on the player. Everything is made right here. He's going to take the field and a very good piece to the puzzle for the Miami Dolphins, Kevin.
And ultimately, though, we ran a hot or not on this, whether or not the Dolphins should trade him, and it was an easy not. Just pay him. It was clearly what he wanted. Now, again, unless he thought they snuck a clause in there that they had to give him more money every time a cornerback got paid, I don't know what he didn't understand. But I will tell you this. I love what he did. That's why Julio Jones, one of my favorite players in the league. Everything Julio did at Atlanta is one of my favorite things. Every single offseason, Julio goes, wait a minute now. Do you see who they just paid? You guys think I'm better than him, right? And Falcons be like, of course, Julio. You're the best receiver in football. Good, I ain't showing up till you pay me more money than that guy. But Julio, we just did this last offseason. Correct, and we'll do it again. And then they'd pay Julio after like 2 weeks, and he'd show up, and he'd be great. And then they just do it again. Like, Can you believe the money that they just gave Mike Evans? I'm better than Mike Evans, right? Guys are like, yeah, you are, Julio. Cool, pay me more money than Mike Evans. And Xavien Howard, same exact thing here. There's nothing wrong with it. I'd love to give a little truth serum to Xavien Howard and just get the real breakdown as to what in the world he was talking about when he said he didn't understand the contract. Not the only player to get paid, though. The Indianapolis Colts paying one of their top defensive stars as we bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those that are listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio, all the radio affiliates out there. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on the Monday morning. Darius Leonard, Donnie gets off, gets a huge, huge payday there from the Indianapolis Colts. He's 45-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. Even bring in Xavien Howard into the fold, 70-1 Defensive Player of the Year. Do either of these top stars that just got paid interest you at their prices?
It doesn't really at this point, because I'm more of a realist in the NFL and what actually players are voting on, because I know he is a wonderful defensive player. You know, same thing with Xavien Howard. They're fantastic. But unless Xavien Howard, you know, has 17 interceptions to by far lead the NFL, he's probably not going to be able to win Defensive Player of the Year. The same thing with Darius Leonard. He can get 155 tackles. The Colts can be good, but all of a sudden those tackle statistics don't match up to what, Kevin? Getting sacks. That's why we take a look at the defensive linemen. Aaron Donald, Miles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Joey Bosa, all in line, because it seems to me like whoever leads the league in sacks is going to be able to get that Defensive Player of the Year, and rightfully so. It's just a flashy word that we look at. Same thing, Kevin, in the Heisman Trophy winner in college football. It's very hard of anybody outside the quarterback. Why? Because they're the flashy statistics. 45 touchdown passes, 5,000 passing yards, one interception. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but this guy over here had 9 yards per carry and 19. Yeah, but he didn't hit 2,000 yards, as if you have to hit 2,000 yards to win a Heisman Trophy over a 12-game season to be even be in the mix at this point. And also keep in mind, we were talking about that Darius Leonard contract here. I do love the fact in the NFL, contracts are structured differently. In the NBA, Kevin, a 5-year deal for $100 million. Every single year you get $20 million. And I think the players get confused of, Kevin, let's just say you have a 3-year, $50 million contract with $45 million in guarantees over the first 2 years. You get paid all that money, and then you're in your third year, you're getting paid $5 million. Wait a second, I'm only getting $5 million. No, 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 your contract ran the length. You already got this. No, 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 I'm only getting $5 million this year. I got $30 last year. I need a new contract. It's wonderful to see it play out, because the human psychology plays in and saying, how did I make so much money last year? I want to make that same money this year, as opposed to getting it up front. Wonderful stuff coming from the NFL, but Defensive Player of the Year, I think it goes to a lineman, Kevin.
No, I think you're absolutely right. You've noticed that that's been the trend here. I don't know how a cornerback can ever win this award. And that's why what Stephon Gilmore did is incredible, because, like, you just don't throw at him. Like, Darrell Revis doesn't have one of these things, and everybody knew he was the best defensive player in the sport. You know what I mean? It's tough to do there. We'll be talking about this a little bit more also. NBA Summer League? Get into it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're right back here on the Early Line. I just want to put a little pin on the DPOY conversation that we were having, talking a little bit about, you know, whether a Darius Leonard or a Xavien Howard could win this award. And Stephon Gilmore did recently win it as a cornerback. But I'll go with a secondary player. He was the first since Troy Polamalu in 2010. The last time a linebacker won the award was Luke Kuechly in 2013. Sacks are king as it pertains to this award. The question I do have to bring up, though, Donnie, is Aaron Donald, because he's 5-1 to win this award. He has gone out there and now won this 3 of the last 4 seasons. He is tied with LT and JJ Watt for the most times winning this award. I know when I break down NBA MVP, we go, hey, listen, man, Giannis is not winning this thing for a third straight year. Kick rocks, it ain't happening. And you just move on past Giannis. Do you think there would be some Donald fatigue here that opens it up to your Myles Garrett, your TJ Watts, your Chase Youngs? Or is it one of those things like, listen, I'm just going to keep betting Aaron Donald until he doesn't win this award?
It's a good point you bring up, because what we're looking at also is it's the NFL. So not only fatigue here, Kevin, is he going to stay healthy for a full 17 games? What happens if Aaron Donald gets banged up, misses three games? It's probably not going to be the defensive MVP at that point. You have to stay healthy, and you have to be dominant. And in a sport like football, there are no guarantees. So if you're looking at the absolute favorite coming into the season, I know we can't say, hey, you know, injuries are a part of it. You still have to take the best player in football, which Aaron Donald is by far the best defensive lineman in football. But you're talking about a guy that plays defensive tackle, Kevin, double and triple teamed every single game. Has he won defensive MVPs in the past? Absolutely. But sooner or later, that injury bug might catch you. And to be an MVP, you must be out there every single week and put up dominant statistics. I'm just playing the percentages here, Kevin, that there might be a little Aaron Donald fatigue, and maybe Aaron Donald is fatigued himself coming into this year as well. Also, still keep in mind, Kevin, COVID is still making its circles out here. All it takes is one of those injury bugs or COVID bugs to bite here, and now you're taking a look at, hey, I bet the favorite here, as opposed to a long shot at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I actually thought TJ Watt deserved the award last year. It's one of those things, like, you never complain when you give it to Aaron Donald because he's always so tremendous, but I really thought TJ had a good case here. I don't think I'd be betting Aaron Donald, not at the favorite, not a plus 500. I just think at some point he probably gets a fourth. Honestly, I wouldn't rule him out getting a fifth. I mean, the guy, he just, it's every single year. He's so clearly the best defensive player in the sport, but it is a difficult thing to do to just keep rattling awards off at that consistency here. I want to bring up the NBA a little bit. The NBA Summer League is going on, but where I want to start quickly, Donnie, is this story coming out about the NBA tampering laws and the idea that the Miami Heat and their move for Kyle Lowry could be in some trouble. The Chicago Bulls and their move for Lonzo Ball could be in some trouble here. There's great irony in the man who reports all of the breaking news, which basically sends off the tampering alert, 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 is then sending out the report of, hey, they're investigating tampering. It's like, yeah, well, why don't you just give them the text messages then, pal, if you would just want to put this thing to bed here. But, I mean, Donnie, how do you feel about this? Because is this one of those things that you agree with they need to crack down on, or should we just blow the charade and just acknowledge that this is what happens and leave it be?
I don't understand the cracking down and what the point of it is. Like, these players talk to each other all year round. Do you think that, like let's play it from a player's perspective, Kevin. You think LeBron James woke up in his free agency, like, the day of free agency, ho, wonder who I'm going to go with in the offseason? These are years in the making. These are relationships built between agents and front offices that say, hey, you know, I just signed for 4 years, and 2 years into it, another organization calls behind the scenes like, hey, you're in town, let's just have dinner. Hey, man, look, in 2 years, we're going to have cap space open. We would love to have Steph Curry. We'd love to have LeBron James, AD, on our basketball team. This is how the groundwork gets laid. And I think even the NBA says, you know, you have the, even the NFL has, like, the tampering period, and you can start engage. What does it matter anyway? What does the tampering, like, you can't, I understand that you can't have a, let's say, a front office, Kevin, per se, come to Philadelphia and woo Joel Embiid while the Lakers are playing the Sixers, saying, hey, man, in a year and a half, you are going to want to be, here's the presentation of a PowerPoint why you should be a Laker. And the Sixers going, wait, he's going to play for us for at least two more years. Why is there a PowerPoint presentation on Broad Street at the Four Seasons to get him to go to the Lakers? You can't have that. But you got to be kidding me. Where they say, oh, well, 1201, how did Kyle Lowry have a sign and trade deal? Because he knew for weeks, months, and years that he possibly wanted to get out of Toronto, so his agent is getting ready for this. It's completely overblown in this situation, as I said, outside of just blatant, like, I mean, Kevin, you can't have this in an arena, you know? You go to play the Dallas Mavericks, right? And then the Mavericks go on the road and play the Lakers. The Lakers can't put up a PowerPoint presentation during the third quarter of why Luka should join the Lakers in 2 years and how great he would be there. Understandably, right? But come on. These guys are making calls behind the scenes all day long.
At the end of yeah, look, if the Lakers start throwing up, like, the Grant Goldberg photoshops of every single player in the Laker uniforms, you've got my full approval to throw down some fines here, okay?
Like, you have a Luka Doncic bobblehead giveaway in L.A. while he's still on the Mavericks, right? Like, come on.
Yeah. In the purple and gold. You know what? That's, it'd be kind of cool. Look, at the end of the day, though, this is nonsense. It's almost as if, it's a little Rob Manfred-esque, if we're being honest here, right? It's one of those things where it's like, hey, listen, so everybody likes the DH rule. okay, cool, let's get that out of here. Nobody seems to like this extra inning stuff. All right, that stays. Yeah. Like, the NBA, Donnie, we're finishing up the finals, right? And what are we talking about here on this show? Hey, things about to heat up in the offseason. We're doing full offseason previews. I'm doing betting around the rim. The season's been done for a month yesterday because the NBA offseason is that special. Your league partners depend on this stuff. ESPN and NBA TV and everything. NBA.com is running the headline. Lowry to the Heat. Does this make them contenders? Lonzo finds a home in Chi-Town. What are you doing? What are you doing? And, like, the odd thing is they're like, listen, like, player-to-player stuff we're not really worried about. Okay, so Kevin Durant goes to the All-Star game, basically has a whole deal with Kyrie Irving that, hey, like, we're going to tell Brooklyn we're going to join their roster. No problems there. No issues with that. We also have Draymond Green texted Kevin Durant while they were supposed to meet in the conference finals every day. By the way, you and Golden State would look quite nice. No problems there. But the agents talking early to the front offices on a guy that everybody knows is a free agent, all you talk about is where he's going to go, is an issue. It's one of the most mind-numbing things of all time. I don't know how they tripped over themselves last year and messed up a Bogdanovich trade for the Bucks, but guess what? Maybe it's why they won the NBA championship. No harm, no foul, cut the nonsense out, and move on past this, Donnie.
It's absolutely right. And also, when you equate it to other sports, Kevin, you're exactly correct. It's a 24/7 news cycle, 365 now for the NBA. Why would they want to disrupt that? And oh yeah, by the way, do you ever see Major League Baseball, how they operate in the free agent market here? Bryce Harper going to the Philadelphia Phillies, one of the biggest free agents in probably a decade. He didn't sign till March, when you could have signed in November, December, January, and February. We all yell at Major League Baseball, it's too slow. The NBA is perfect the minute the clock strikes 12 o'clock or 4 o'clock, whenever the free agency period starts. Avalanches come down. It's so exciting for your teammates over the next, 24 to 48 hours. Why would you want to slow that down and drag it out for weeks? We want to know right away where these players are going. You know what the best part about the teams like it as well, Kevin? The faster I get this guy on my team, the quicker I can turn around and put him on my season tickets. I can send out mailers. Mm-hmm. I can sell jerseys and do all that. How about the Philadelphia Phillies missing, 5 months of the Christmas surge, where if Bryce Harper signed in November, think about the jerseys they would have boosted by Christmas. He doesn't sign till March. Get out of town. Sign him right away. Get these tampering rules out of here.
Oh, and by the way, as the bettors, maybe you're saying, hey, listen, like, I get what you guys are saying, but does this matter? They're allowed to rescind the deals if they think it's necessary. Imagine you're holding a Heat ticket and all of a sudden Kyle Lowry's back in Toronto? Whoa. Now they're not going to do that. But could you imagine? Let's move on. This is nonsense. Let's be adults in the room, acknowledge what's going on, and cut it out. I'm begging you. And by, like, Woj being the guy to report, they're looking into tampering. Cut it out, Woj. Take it or leave it is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are right back here on the early line. Time for Take It or Leave It, which we've kind of transitioned into a college football win total breakdown, which I really enjoyed. We hit a lot of the Big 12. Some teams really jump out. I'm interested in that Oklahoma State squad. Kansas is just a fascinating group. Over 1.5. Juiced to the under, by the way. Oklahoma, your big favorite there. Want to bring the ACC into the fold here. And everybody knows it, the end-all, be-all. Clemson, what can you say? They're just loaded top to bottom. They're loaded every single year, and it's represented in this win total, Donnie. 11.5. A yes, no on will this team go unbeaten. Take it or leave it, over 11.5 wins for the Clemson Tigers.
Now, there's a reason why it's 11.5 at plus 125 there. Why? Because there's 12 games on the schedule. So if we're doing simple math, and I'm not a mathematician over it, it means they got to sweep and run the entire table in order to win that bet at the plus 125 number. Do I think they can do it? Yes, I do. But I'm going to leave this one on the table, Kevin, because if you're looking from a Clemson perspective here, there's four teams that get in the playoffs. Let's just say they open up against Georgia in a neutral site game and lose that game. They're probably going to rip off the next 11 games here. So if you're going to look at that, say, wait, I'd rather like just make a bet for them to actually make it into the college football playoff as opposed to taking their team total. Can they get the 11.5? Sure, but it means they have to be perfect. And let's also keep in mind, I love the young quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, that's going to be starting, you know, over for Trevor Lawrence last year. Travis Etienne, who bailed them out so many times, Kevin, is no longer there. The one thing that you like about Clemson this year, 10 of the 11 starters on defense are coming back. So maybe if the offense struggles a little bit here, you could be buoyed by a dominant defense. But again, you need perfection all the way through. And the same thing I talked about maybe winning, you know, defensive player of the year in the NFL, it's the same way looking at college football. These are still college kids here. COVID is still around. If you get your quarterback knocked out or your star wide receiver knocked out or a couple defensive players in the room, that could affect you coming into a ball game. So when you're looking at these teams to go over the team totals and they need perfection, Kevin, a lot can go wrong in the season. Now, the one thing nice they're going to get back is Justin Ross, the wide receiver, just medically approved here to play in 2021. That is a massive improvement. But Kevin, I need perfection. It's going to be tough to get for Clemson this year, even though I think the schedule is in their favor. They might lose game one, but still be able to run the table, but that doesn't get that ticket. I'm going to leave this one here. What are you thinking?
It's a great point, though, you bring up, whether it be injury or COVID, especially in the quarterback room. DJ Uiagalelei is a star. One of the top five choices to win Heisman. I mean, look, what he did at Notre Dame last year was nothing short of unbelievable. Behind him, the main backup injured for the season, the second backup went and got drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates in the third round. It's a walk-on quarterback sat behind him. Now, here's the thing, though, Donnie. What's their second toughest game? At Pitt? I mean, they're going to lay 1,000 points to UConn. Like, they have what feels like only one losable game. Here's my question to you when you talk about a gambling strategies. If somebody out there believes with full conviction that they will be beating Georgia, do you lay the $100 to win 125 on the over 11.5, or do you lay minus 176 on the money line week one? Don't let your money get tied up there. Yes, it's a juicier price, but again, you're not cashing over 11.5 if they're not beating Georgia, and you don't have to tie your money up for a year.
It's a good point you bring up because, yes, it is a little bit more juicier. But, again, you're not tying your money up for the plus 125. You get in and get out, and maybe you can reassess if they have a live team total for the remainder of the season. There's a lot better options here. Now, if you're taking a look at a longer shot, like, hey, to go perfection, Kevin, it's plus 900 or something like that. Well, then you say, you know what, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to bet it before the season begins. But you are so correct here. Lay a little bit of juice. You'll know game one whether or not that is a victory here. And you don't have to go through all the way through the rest of the season. One thing we're probably going to know, Kevin, you don't have to lay that bet right now. You don't have to lay that bet a week ahead of time. You can lay that same bet, Kevin, probably hours before the game when you know everybody's been tested, who's healthy, who's going to be playing in that football game, as opposed to rolling the dice over the next 4 months. Good point by you.
Yeah, and I think you could see people actually coming in to bet Georgia one of those games. Ah, give me the plus points. Give me plus the points. Give me plus the points. And maybe you can get a minus 160-ish kind of number, maybe 150. I want to go to the U. Donnie, your boys. Yesterday there was a great photo going around of Donnie Wrightside at a game against Temple. It's absolutely tremendous. Make sure you see it on his Twitter. The U, Donnie, checks in with a 9.5. But similar to Clemson, a plus price to the over at plus 125. Take it or leave it, the Miami Hurricanes over 9.5 wins.
Miami Hurricanes over 9.5 wins. This will be an interesting one because the one thing that at the end of last season, oh my goodness, man, destruction just struck this football team with De'Aaron King going down with a knee injury. Miraculous recovery by De'Aaron King. He's out practicing full go here in fall camp, which is an amazing thing to look at. But when you take a look at their defense, nine returning starters coming back. Also taking a look at the offense, 11 overall back, including a lot of players on that offensive line. So looking at De'Aaron King coming back, you have your top four out of five running backs coming back. receiving, top 4 out of 5, your quarterback coming back. I do think this is legitimate here. Now, it's hard to do because you're taking a look at the season total going, you're going to lose game one. If Miami beats Alabama, that would be an amazing feat in performance, getting about 17 points. But as you look going forward, Appalachian State, winnable game. Michigan State at home. Central Connecticut at home. Virginia at home. You go on the road to North Carolina, which I do believe that has a really good chance to be a loss. NC State at home. Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech at Florida State. This is a very winnable schedule for the Miami Hurricanes if they can get out unscathed. And keep in mind, Kevin, you don't actually have to win that football game against Alabama. What happens if that game is 27-20 and Miami he really shows out? You probably feel even better, Kevin, at that over 9.5 win total. I think they can get there because I think the schedule makes sense. And if Derek King is healthy, he's a really good football player with a lot of ammunition behind him to help him out.
So I think everything you said there is super valid, especially when you think about all of the talent they return, right? It's all but two starters from last year's football game. By the way, little mind games that they probably should play with the committee. I wouldn't play Derek King against Alabama. Don't let Alabama roll you with your top quarterback. I'm dead serious, by the way. I'm dead serious. Let Alabama beat you 42-7 without Derek King. Run the table. Like, hey, we didn't have Derek King. What do you want? You know what? Like, again, last year, Trevor Lawrence doesn't play in Notre Dame. People are like, the game doesn't count. Even though DJU comes up this year, he's like the third best quarterback in college football. Besides the point, I'm not going to make this about Notre Dame. The reason why I can't play over 9.5, though, Donnie, is because I think they're 0-1. I only have one more game to give you. I'd rather just wait to bet the UNC game if I really believe they can beat them. Or just bet them to win the Coastal, right? At that same plus 125 price. Like, that to me is a little bit more attractive just because they are so likely to lose to Bama. And let me just say this. If anybody out there, if you're like, I like over 9.5, I think they can beat Alabama. Stop everything you're doing. Forget the season win total. Sprinkle money line, put 18.5 in your pocket, and just absolutely sleepwalk to what you believe would be a tremendously easy bet. And it also, it's tough, Donnie, to play a future when I know that I've got a quarterback coming off the kind of an injury like Derek King. I like what the U brings to the table. I really do. I think they're going to be a fun team. I'm dead serious. I wouldn't play Derek King against Alabama, but I can't play him over 9.5 if I think that they're going to be 0-1. Look, it's going to be Miami versus UNC. One of these two teams very, very likely will be winning their division and going on to play Clemson in the ACC title game. UNC checks in with the same exact number, just the juice is a little bit different. Donnie, they are over-under, is also 9.5, but theirs is minus 125 over for the Tar Heels. Take it or leave it.
I'm still going to take this as well because I think it's a three-team race here with Clemson put involved. But also, when we take a look at the Miami Hurricanes, Kevin, going over their schedule, and then we flip it over and we go to UNC and go over the schedule. What thing is missing between both of these? Playing Clemson, which probably would have been an automatic loss. So now you're going through the bottom feeders of the ACC, which you should be picking up victories for. At Virginia Tech opening night, always a tough situation. You're going to have fans back in the stands, one of the tougher places to play. You might get tripped up opening day, but let's just say you get past that game, Kevin. Georgia State, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Duke, Florida State, Miami. Oh, yeah, Florida State, Miami, both home games there in Chapel Hill. The Notre Dame game on the road is probably going to be a tough one. But after that, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Wofford, and NC State, Kevin. When I look at this schedule, I think it's a lot easier than what the Miami Hurricanes are going through. Now, you did lose some really talented players off this UNC team. Looking at offense, 8 returning starters. Defense, 8 returning starters. But also, I think to me, if I'm looking for one quarterback, and I know, you know, DJ is a very good quarterback down there for Clemson. But Sam Howell is that pure passer. I mean, he will be able to get this team up and down the field, but they lost so many wide receivers and running backs. As long as you have the quarterback, things should work out in your favor. And I don't believe this is a very tough schedule for UNC. So I like, you know, Clemson to go under the totals we talked about, Miami and UNC both to go over their numbers, and maybe feeling a little bit more confident, Kevin, that North Carolina actually goes over their total than the Miami Hurricanes, just because the simple fact is they have Miami at home here, and that could be a key swing for both of those ball clubs.
And I'll tell you what, Donnie, there's absolutely a world where you could tell me, hey, look, I'm betting both Miami and UNC over 9.5, and my worst case is a split. It's a clean wash. Worst case scenario. Because both of those teams absolutely can win 10 games, but UNC is my preference. Yes, they lost a lot of skill positions, right? The backfield, I get all of that. The whole offensive line is back, and maybe the best quarterback in the country. That's good enough for me. There's still plenty of talent on the outside there, very deep in the defensive backfield. And I'll add this to, like, look, I like them over. Va Tech, they're laying 5.5 on the road week one. They get through that game, you're looking at the U, you're looking at Notre Dame. And by the way, Notre Dame fan, you know that, right? It's probably going to be a down year for the Fighting Irish. That very well could be a game that UNC might be able to grab. This team has big ideas. Like, this is their last season with Sam Howell. They're not looking to go out there and be a, hey, let's get a good bowl game. Like, that team wants to accomplish a lot. And of all the teams that we've looked at thus far, I'll tell you this right now, Sam Howell, 16-1 to win the Heisman, is a number that I'm incredibly interested in. Big games against Miami and Notre Dame where he can show out. There's this narrative that he lost so much talent that now people will be overly impressed if he goes out there and puts up tremendous numbers. And he's going to be looking to hunt down ACC record. 16-1 is a good price. We preview baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, time to preview another Major League Baseball board. A lot of good stuff in action. The Marlins going on down to the San Diego Padres, the Yanks, and the Royals throwing it down as well. We'll start at the top of the board, though, where you've got Luis Castillo taking the mound for the Reds. We've talked about Castillo turning the season around after a very, very difficult start. The Reds are road favorites, and it's worth just bringing up quickly, Donnie, this team has won 5 games in a row. Joey Votto hits a home run in every single game he plays in, and they do sit 5 back of Milwaukee. And just to give people an idea, Boston is 4 back of Tampa. The Dodgers are 4 back of the Giants. If those teams are live, you could maybe argue the Reds are as well. They go to Cleveland today for a 1-game makeup.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here in this game. It starts at 6:10 Eastern time, a 5.68 xFIP number for Henches on the mound tonight. Doesn't strike out a lot of batters here, Kevin, only about 13%, but also walks 13% of the batters that he's faced. It's nice to see the Cincinnati lineup healthy again, and keep in mind, we are not in a National League ballpark. We're playing this game in Cleveland, so you're going to have a nice 1-9. Now, how they stack up over the last 30 days to left-handed pitching isn't all that great. Take a look at Jesse Winker here, 243 weighted on base average. Nick Castellanos. Now, keep in mind, he's just back from injury, so only 6 at-bats. Mm-hmm. He's got a 145 weighted on-base average. Joey Votto, 254. Stevenson, 313. And Moustakas, again, just working his way back, so not a lot. But look at the names in the lineup here, Kevin. Sometimes when you say, you know, the numbers aren't adding up, even though a couple of these guys have less than, you know, 10 at-bats over the last 30 days versus lefties. But India, Winker, Castellanos, Votto, Stevenson, Moustakas, Farmer, Eugenio Suarez in the 8-hole, and then Akiyama in the 9-hole. There's not very many automatic outs in that lineup, and it presents very well because when you're taking a look at the Cleveland batters in this game going up against Luis Castillo, a 3.55 xFIP over the last 30 days for Castillo on the mound, which is sensational. How about right-handed batters? A 250 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number, a 0.102. How about the ISO power number to lefties here, Kevin? He is a right-handed pitcher, 0.098. Not a lot to love out of the lineup here. Take a look from the right-handed pitching perspective here going up against Cleveland over the last 30 days, Kevin. Of their 9 eligible batters that were anticipated to be in the lineup tonight, only one of them above a 330 weighted on base percentage. So if you're looking to lay on a team that's possibly going to get into the playoffs or make a run to the playoffs in the Cincinnati Reds against a team in the Indians, maybe not looking towards the playoffs, I think the better lineup is there. It's just a way if you want to pay that price or not, but I certainly wouldn't be looking towards the Cleveland Indians in this game, Kevin.
What's interesting, Donnie, about Hentges is getting the ball here for Cleveland is his last 2 outings were 1-inning relief innings against Toronto. Both clean innings, but I mean, he gave up a hit in both, but no runs allowed in either one of those innings here. He's not necessarily a guy that they pin to go deep. I know Cleveland doesn't have big dreams of making the playoffs anymore, but his starts have just gone so poorly. It's a little surprising to see them go back to him. I think over the course of a game, if he stays in for, you know, even four innings, you will see Cleveland very likely start to hit him up. We got the White Sox and the Twins throwing it down in Minnesota. Giolito against Bo Burrows here. The White Sox are a big old favorite of minus 200 on the road with a total checking in at 9.5.
Yeah, and we're taking a look at a team total perspective, Kevin. As you know, I like to circle some wagers here on the card today, which we'll get to another one a little bit later. But the Chicago White Sox here, team total, probably going to hover in that 4.5 to 5 range today. Going up against a kid that, hey, not very many pitcher batters that he's pitched you over the last 30 days, being only 34. But both lefties and righties have certainly taken advantage of him on the mound. Now, let's take a look at some of the ISO power numbers that we talk about, how much damage you're doing at the plate. Burrows is a right-handed pitcher, and let's take a look at the lineup that's due to be out tonight for the Chicago White Sox. Anderson, Hernandez, Abreu, Jimenez, Moncada, Goodwin, Vaughn, and Collins. And we are looking better and better each day, Kevin. How many times have we talked about it? Just wait till the Chicago White Sox lineup actually gets really healthy in this game. Look at their ISO power numbers toward right-handed pitching so far, Kevin. A 169, a 164, 303, 353, 192, 217, 212, and a 107. So if we're looking from a power perspective, what about 5 or 6 of those guys? Really elevated numbers here, baby, to do some damage. And the thing that we always like as well, Minnesota, not a great bullpen. And also you're getting, Kevin, a full nine at-bats no matter what happens in this game from a White Sox perspective.
Here's the interesting thing to note as well about the White Sox, right? Talk about Eloy Jimenez and his big day against the Cubs. Guess who's supposed to be back today as well? Louis Roberts. So, Donnie, finally healthy for the Chicago White Sox. Now, and this lineup has already been able to mash before. The White Sox are now looking to round into form. We've talked about how this team has had subpar performances on the road. I understand you're in Chicago, but going to Wrigley, getting a sweep, you like to see that result. They have had their struggles with teams above 500. I know Minnesota does not profile as that, but fully healthy, Giolito on the mound there. This is what you want to see from the White Sox here down the home stretch, because again, considering their road struggles, that's a team that would love the number one overall spot in the American League. Keeping to continuing to move down this board here, we'll bring up those Cubs. They're playing the Milwaukee Brewers. Freddy Peralta against Alec Mills, another big minus 200 price, minus 205 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total is a flat 9, Donnie.
Yeah, Yelich back in the lineup, obviously, is going to be a nice little boon here for the Milwaukee Brewers over the final parts of this season. Let's take a look at Alec Mills, the right-handed pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, and what he's done over the past 30 days. XFIP number 5.13, which is elevated. Not striking out a lot of batters here, Kevin. He's faced right around 100 batters or close to it. He's only struck out about 10% of those batters. So that means balls will be in play here in Chicago, which obviously, as you know, can leave the yard quite quickly. Now let's take a look at the lineup and how it matches up versus Alec Mills. A weighted on base percentage of 423 for Mills towards left-handed batters and an ISO power number of 268. Now let's flip it over to right-handed batters that he's faced. Once again, keep in mind, Mills is a right-handed pitcher. An ISO power number of .045 matched up with the weighted on base average, Kevin, of .253. So that means lefties are really getting over on Mills when he's doing a great job against right-handed batters. Let's take a look at the Milwaukee Brewers and what their anticipated lineup tonight is going to be. How about this? Wong a lefty, Yelich a lefty, Escobar switch hitter, which means he'll be from the left-hand side, Narvaez a lefty, and Tellez a lefty. That's 5 out of the 8 eligible batters that are anticipating from the left side. That's how you attack Mills. So that was the second game on the card today that it did circle, and you're probably going to be able to get those team totals between 4.5 and 5. No reason to believe they can't get that. And also, once again, the same thing I talked about the Chicago White Sox, Kevin, same thing with the Milwaukee Brewers. No matter what happens in this game, you are going to get your full 27 outs, meaning you're going to bat 9 times regardless of the score, and that always helps.
And again, with Wrigley, always check on the weather, the wind, this, that, and the third. Man, it's a little annoying, but it is one of my favorite things about Wrigley is if you look at the number, you can always kind of tell. Like, the 9 means it's like, hey, don't worry about it. Then you get an 11, and you're like, uh-oh, the thing's flying. And then you get your 7.5. Like, oh, boy. My favorite, there was like a 6.5 once with 2 terrible pitchers. It's like, guys, singles are allowed. All right, we keep things moving here. Another big road favorite. Some big old road favorites on today's board, which is always concerning because things go wrong. Yankees. Oh, I can already feel it. Minus 172 against the Kansas City Royals, Donnie. They're going to hit. Total's 10. total is 10. They were shut out against the Mariners yesterday.
Yeah, you're taking a look at Hernandez on the mound today. Not a great pitcher, but looking from his xFIP number, 5.11. But take a look at this. He does strike out a lot of batters, 25% of the batters that he does face. Look at this. It's interesting because you have that high xFIP number, which means he's getting a little bit lucky based on his weighted on base percentages, because he is a right-handed pitcher to lefties, Kevin. A 254 weighted on base percentage with only a 100 ISO power number, which is phenomenal. Take a look at the righties. Still below the margins, Kevin. 0.304 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 133. He's actually doing the job here, but he is not a ground ball pitcher. Only 33% of the balls that he gets put in play end up on the ground. So what's that mean? Chances for doubles, chances for home runs certainly increase. But the issue we continually run into is every time a right-handed pitcher takes the mound against the New York Yankees, and even just looking over the last 30 days, nobody can hit him. Outside of Aaron Judge's 357 weighted on-base percentage and 262 ISO power number, everybody else is terrible in that lineup over the last 30 days versus righties. So you see the 10, it makes sense. You're going against Kansas City. They should be able to hammer them. You're getting 9 full at-bats no matter what happens in the game. And yet we will be on in-play sports tonight, Kevin, going, hey, when's the time to jump in on the Yankees? It's 1-0. It's 0-0 after the fifth inning. I can't anticipate that. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not, because Hernandez isn't a good pitcher. But nothing in this lineup tells me tonight, Kevin, for the New York Yankees, that we're just going to have 7 runs for the Yanks.
Couple things. One, Carlos Hernandez's strikeout prop on the FanDuel Sportsbook's 4.5. He just struck out 6 against the White Sox. Maybe some opportunity. Two, the COVID stuff with the Yankees is really, really difficult. Because we've seen teams have COVID outbreaks and they get a pause, they don't have to play through it. The Yankees just pick a top player once a week to throw onto the COVID list. Again, yesterday, 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position. 5 of those at-bats belong to Kyle Higashioka and Luke Voit. Neither are supposed to be starting for this Yankees team. Here's the last thing. There's a FanDuel Sportsbook Odds Boost 3-team parlay on the Yankees, White Sox, and Brewers from +250 to +300. There's no shot at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's a great little boost there. Take 3 big favorites, slap them together. Let's make it happen. Here's the thing. Parlays are difficult. Road favorite parlays? No thank you. But what does that mean, Donnie? Somebody's going to blow this up. So I'm going to close my ears because I feel like I know the answer you're going to give, and I'm going to ignore what you're about to say. But, Donnie, which of those 3 teams is most likely to blow up the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost?
I mean, you're more likely or not to say the New York Yankees will do this because their MO is not like, hey, Kev, we're going to lose the game 9-8, but at least we're going to be hitting. It's one of those more frustrating games where how many times in the past do we see it? The Yankees don't score in the first inning or the second inning, and you get that long extended break where they don't score until the 6th or 7th. It's almost as if the Yankees can push through a run here, Kevin, in the first 2 innings that you get those good vibes, even though it's 1 run through the first 2 innings. But as soon as you see 1-2-3 in the first, 1-2-3 in the second, where you say, now, wait a second, who is this pitcher, and is he going to be up for the Cy Young Award? Because he looks tremendous. The Yankees have a feeling, or Yankees pretty much have one of those show stages here where they make a lot of average pitchers look really good. And tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again. Look, the Yankees should win. They're favored. They're much better than the Royals. But nothing in this lineup tonight, as I said, profiles to say, hey, Kev, watch out over the first couple innings. They're going to get after it.
Average pitchers. Jorge Lopez and Marco Gonzalez. 12 2/3 innings, 2-hit baseball, no runs. Against the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Unbelievable. Quickly, Donnie, Padres, Marlins here. I do believe the Padres are actually your biggest favorites on the board. Interesting, they didn't make it their way into that parlay. Total checks in at a very low 7.5.
Yeah, it looks like the Miami Marlins at this point just basically, I don't know, you know, out there on vacation. They go to Colorado, just get absolutely hammered. Now, hey, we're going to get some nice weather in San Diego.
Sure did.
Go out in the Gaslight District over there in San Diego. Have some fun, you know, maybe get on the beach a little bit here. But they should get put away tonight. Joe Musgrove on the mound here going up against Zach Thompson. It's not so much that you say Zach Thompson is a terrible pitcher. It's what do you have left over with Miami, and what are they actually playing for? Absolutely nothing but hoping, I would assume, to try to get as low as possible to draft within the top 5 in Major League Baseball. They're well on their way now. Padres should be able to walk over them in this game, Kevin.
34 runs allowed in a 3-game series at Coors Field by the Miami Marlins. and the strength of this team is their pitching, which they've acquired through trades. Working real well. Real well. Come right back. The Early Line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day for a Monday on the Early Line. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and also Kevin Walsh. Two action-packed hours to start off the week and set the table. And as always, we hand it right off to the morning after here, 9 to 12 o'clock. 3 hours with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens right here on the Sports Grid Network. A lot going on over the weekend. We shut the door on the Olympics. Look forward to the football season. Good morning, Ariel Epstein. How's it going out there today?
It's going good, Donnie. It's a Monday, yet the Olympics did end, and Team USA not only comes out with the most Olympic medals, but they also had the most Olympic gold. It was something that really came down to the wire. Last week, 2-1 for Team USA to have the most golds, and they end up prevailing anyway.
How about that stuff? You know, looking forward to what we have going forward. You know, it's really nice because, you know, the Olympics now used to be every 4 years. It still is, but 3 years now due to the COVID delay. So we'll see what takes place, who ends up on that Team USA basketball roster in 3 years. But having said that, as we look today, Ariel, you know, August the 9th, get this for this week's football schedule. Two games on Thursday night, three games on Friday night, a full slate on Saturday, and I believe also one Sunday night game as well. We are in full football mode. Today we were going over some win totals here in college football, having a lot of fun with that. We are so close to watching live football that counts in a matter of 3 weeks in college football here.
Thank goodness. It's the best part about August 1st, because when you hit August 1st, you say, okay, this is the month that we're going to get football in action. Also, we have Hard Knocks in the NFL starting up this week, Donnie. College football in just a couple of weeks also. I am so excited that we're going to have games to talk about. I keep going through it with Ben and I. We stay preparing for the show every day. Hey, what can we talk about now? We've already gone through a lot of the futures market. We've gone through a lot of the win totals. We've been trying to eat up time in July and August. Now let's get these things to change a little bit from just a game happening. I can't wait for the overreactions.
Exactly. Overreactions are the best thing about it as well, because you'll see over the next 3 weeks here, once these teams start to get in training camps, oh, this rookie looks really good. This veteran isn't playing well, and odds are going to move all across the board. And it certainly beats just a five-game slate to talk about in Major League Baseball tonight. But everything we got you covered today, stay tuned here for the morning after. Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens on the Sports Grid Network. We're out of here for the Early Line. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The UPS Store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.